All right. I don't know what the odds were on Bogdan Bogdanovich and the Kings matching or declining, but you probably could have bet on it at MyBookie. MyBookie is a home run. It's a slam dunk. It's a game-winning shot. It's a touchdown. It's everything that you need. They have up-to-the-minute odds on your favorite team. And with the NBA right around the corner, MyBookie has got you. With the NFL season in full stretch here and the playoffs just around the corner, MyBookie has got you. With MyBookie, the terms are simple. You bet, you win, they pay. Use the promo code HoopBall and they'll match your deposit 100%. Again, use the promo code HoopBall and they'll match your deposit 100% no matter what your favorite sport to have some fun with is. At MyBookie, again, the terms are very simple. You bet, you win, they pay. Well, we are dropping this episode of the HoopBall Podcast here on the HoopBall Podcast Network in partnership with Be Heard, Damian Barling, Jill Adge. We're recording this a day early for multiple reasons. Thanksgiving is coming up, and we thought, hey, let's go ahead and record something to let people have something to listen to if they're on the road. Hopefully people aren't traveling too much, so maybe you're staying in the house and you need something to listen to. We got you. Or perhaps you're pulling your hair out over the recent announcement of Bogdan Bogdanovich. The Sacramento Kings did not match the offer sheet that the Atlanta Hawks presented to him. The 4 years, $72 million offer sheet that the Atlanta Hawks presented to him on Sunday. Sacramento Kings thought it over. We honestly thought we were going to be recording this podcast at 8:59. They left us about a 2-3 hour window here before the actual deadline, but they used up a lot more of it than we thought they would. And Jill, Bogey is done, no longer a Sacramento King. And I know what's going to drive people crazy is they lost him for nothing.
Yeah. And Mark Stein just tweeted out something that exactly fit that. It said, after league leading 14 seasons in a row out of the playoffs and then two bolts of possibility, Tyrese Halliburton, and they drafted De'Aaron Fox, extended. This has to be a difficult outcome for Kings fans to stomach, to see such a highly coveted player exit without compensation. And that's really all that it comes down to is, again, we're seeing another player leave without anything. And I 14 years makes this kind of situation so much worse than, let's say, if we had, this was a team that was in the playoffs and you're now retooling, right? Like you're seeing Oklahoma City and other ones doing, but then people will say, well, Sam Presti gets assets for his people. Okay. You know, but this is a new guy taking over and there's really nothing I can say. I mean, I've tried to say it all on Twitter, like to be as positive as I can be. but there's no, people don't want to hear it. That's the point. Like people are already pissed off about 14 seasons and everything else that there's no spin. There's nothing you can do. I don't think that's, people have made their minds. They either like the move, they don't like the move. There's no bright spot if you've made your decision one way or the other, at least from what I've seen.
You know, I think there's a couple of things to point out that are worth, there's a couple of things worth mentioning, particularly Adrian Wojnarowski's tweets. There's multiple different things worth pointing out. One, Kings front office labored over the decision, but kept coming back to new GM Monty McNair's plan to maintain roster flexibility. Keeping Bogdanovich would have severely limited the organization's ability to continue reshaping the team around its young core of Fox, Bagley, and Hield. So that last line got a lot of people's attention. And I think it got a lot of people's attention because it's Buddy's name involved there at the end. And so you wonder, is this Adrian Wojnarowski putting those three together as the young core, or did this young core come from someone inside the Kings front office?
Right. Well, and then everyone's wondering, is he really part of the core, or are they just trying to throw his name out there to garner, you know, hoping that he's going to get his marketability back up and go, because I don't doubt that these last 48 hours, they looked at every possible angle. Just because we didn't hear about it I mean, I saw that a lot of, oh, he's not doing anything because we're not hearing about it. Come on, guys. Like, that's.
This is not the same office that it was before.
Made it clear. They talked to 90 people in the draft process without you knowing. And yeah. Our media interviewed people that he talked to, and they even said it after the fact. Like they're asking people to not probably talk about him. But I mean, you're putting stats up, and if you truly are focusing on Fox and Tyrese, no matter what you think about Buddy, he fits better with those two players, regardless. Yes, I know we're not getting assets back. There's nothing you can say about that. But the player that fits best next to those two guys is Buddy, whether you like Buddy Hield or not. And if they truly think that Tyrese can fit what Bogey, you know, Bogey's role eventually, obviously it's not going to happen overnight, then they think they have their filler and they're not paying $72 million for it.
Sure.
And again, James Hamm mentioned, you know, before during the draft process that the Kings were going to be drafting like Bogey was not there. And yes, there was that botched trade, which we've heard all the speculation on. Yeah. Was it his agent? Because his agent has done this three other times or two other times with other teams. Like there's a history there. You know, I think it's more frustrating that we did see that we were going to get something back, or at least we heard we were going to get something back on Monday. And yeah. Then you've waited a whole, over a week now, and you're seeing again, nothing back. But to me, this is just as much on ownership and previous GM that they automatically just assumed, you know, these trades were available at the deadline. We heard Philadelphia wanted
them. That's right.
We heard Milwaukee wanted them. Same thing for Dante. But Vlade was going to be here, and he had said that he had thought around between like 15, 18 that he would be able to bring him back. But Vlade's not here, and Vivek made that decision. So now you have to live with the fact that there's a new regime coming in, and he doesn't necessarily value or treat these pieces the same as previous management, or no matter what a fan base thinks they're worth.
I'll keep this as clean as possible for the Sacramento Kings podcast. I've discussed this on different podcasts before, but you can choose to take this however you want to. Just because a new regime comes in, or a new administration, if you will, it doesn't mean everything is going to be better immediately.
Right.
There is a long road to fix things. For all of the new administrations coming in, there is a long road to fix things, and being able to fix all of the, being able to fix contract issues, being able to fix restricted free agency issues. Jill, I've said this forever. I didn't think at any point until the trade deadline had passed that Bogey and Buddy were going to be on the same team. One was going to be moved, because if you kept Buddy, to me, that signified you weren't going to match the contract that Bogey was offered. Right. If you traded Buddy and kept Bogey, that meant you were going to match whatever offer was put in front of him. There's a second or another follow-up tweet from Adrian Wojnarowski that I think is worth pointing out. And he's talking about the Hawks general manager, and he uses the line, "It was a wise gamble to overpay market value on Bogdan Bogdanovic." He hit at the higher end of the number we all thought he was going to go at. You mentioned 15 to 18. He wind up getting the 472. That's on the high end. That's on the 18 million part. And Adrian Wojnarowski refers to that as over market value. If the Kings had paid over market value for a player, fans would equally be losing their mind. I'm not talking about Bogdan Bogdanovic. I'm talking about a player in free agency. If you had paid over market value to attract a free agent, people would have been losing their mind. They would have been so frustrated with it. It's John Salmons all over again, or it's player XYZ. Like it doesn't matter. But there's something, and I understand and we had Bryant West on today, and he wrote a great column for the Kings Herald about why it was so important for the Kings to match Bogey. or match Atlanta for a bogey. And I thought, you know, that's not how I feel. Let's get Brian on, because I think it creates an interesting conversation. And Jason Anderson, you know, said the same thing, and that you can't allow talent to just walk out the door when you've missed playoffs as many times in a row as the Sacramento Kings have. You can't just allow talent to leave. You can't just allow talent to walk out the door. And it started to change my mind a little bit. Like, yeah, maybe it is best for the Kings to match Atlanta's deal. But hypothetically, Jill, what if Bogey gets hurt?
Right.
What if...
Which he has been hurt previously.
What if he stinks? Like, what if he winds up not fitting into what the Kings are doing? I know that's a long shot, but just help me play out worst case scenario. And he becomes extremely difficult to trade, not just because of his dollar figure, but because of his production. So having this idea of, I forgot the exact numbers, but I think it's 80 for Buddy, 72 for Bogey. I think it's 60 plus for Harrison Barnes. Andy Aaron's new contract kicks in next year. Like, that is a lot of money wrapped up for four players on a team. That's not good. I know, and we knew this morning when we took the air on ESPN 1320, we're in the minority here. I'm okay that Monty McNair didn't match that contract. I don't have a problem with it.
But, right.
I understand the argument about trading. Right. Like, I get it.
He's being off with nothing. And I've seen, well, if we could have at least got a second, that was something. I get it. But even looking at their salary cap, where we have what, not including the rookies, we had 10, and it was at 96 million, I believe. Next year, we have 6 at 93 million. On a horrible, I don't even want to say horrible, on a bad, like on a young, bad team. Like, mm-hmm. Now we're actually getting younger. This just got us younger. Okay. Yeah. Whether we like it or not. And I know there are people that believe, oh, had Bagley not gotten hurt, we would have been that 8 seed and we would have seen the same team that we saw. Under Luke, I'm not convinced that team would have been the same team. Yeah. I'm not. And we have seen attitudes from players that shows me that no matter what the coach was, we weren't necessarily going to see that, or if they're going to change the style of play. I may be naive here, or people with, you know, rainbow colored glasses, but we brought in a GM who went through this. He was hired in Houston during their big rebuild process, where they lost McGrady, they lost Yao Ming. And he watched how you can rebuild a team and see it last for 8 seasons in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he can do that here, but I'm hoping that he sure as hell knows way more things than any of us know, you know, on our end, that he's been working the phones. He's been talking to other GMs. He has a feel for people's worth. What the market's like right now. What, I mean, we all act like we know what somebody's worth. We don't. Like, we love to overevaluate our players and what we're going to get back for him. I'm sure as hell hoping that this was his vision. He saw it through, whether we agree with it or not. And we're not going to find out, like you said, overnight. It's going to be a process to see if this worked. And, you know, if 2-3 years now from this didn't work, then we'll roast them like we have.
Like all the other ones.
GM besides, yeah, Jeff Petrie, that we have in the 35 years that the Kings have been around. But we're seeing a guy who's not overpaying free agents and who's kind of going against the norm of what these previous guys were doing. And I will pay you whatever I want to maybe try and get that 8 seed. It looks like he's tearing everything down to rebuild it back up, at least around Fox. We know that. Fox and Halliburton, who they just drafted.
Yeah.
Bagley, we're still waiting to see. I mean, this place has had so many more issues. Yes, this is just another piece on top of it. But let's not act like this is the pinnacle piece in, you know, what has been a dumpster fire the last 14 years.
I'm not adamant in one direction. I know this is like bad sports take, right? You're a sports media person. You're supposed to have this flaming hot take and you're going to yell at it about it. And you're going to tell everyone who doesn't agree with you that they're stupid. But I understand everybody who feels like you. I understand everybody who feels like Brian. And really, I understand everybody who thinks they have to match this deal. You have to keep talent in uniform and you figure it out after that. But at the same time, I can completely see the mindset of why it's a gamble. It's a $72 million gamble over the next 4 years. And should something go wrong, we saw Klay Thompson go down with an Achilles tear in a workout, in a preseason, in an off season workout. Anything can happen here at this point. Oh, by the way, I know a lot of people don't recognize this, but there is still a global pandemic going on. Who knows what type of ramifications that'll have on this upcoming season? You know what I mean? So,
right.
I'm not mad. Like
I'm trade clause. He put everything possible in that contract to not want to come back.
If it was like Bogey said, or his agent or Atlanta, they built that thing beautifully.
And I'm sure it was together.
Yeah.
But like you said, he has to agree to no trade clause. Let's say worst case scenario, he did came back. You made the gamble. He went down. No one's waiving that trade clause. No one's also trading for him. And you are now eating $72 million on top of Barnes, on top of Buddy. And then everybody, you're back in the same boat of everybody knows you're a seller and you got to get out and you got to, you know.
I use the analogy that Bogey and I hate this because it's the way we as fans and it's the way we in media often talk about professional athletes. And it's one of the things that drives me crazy about this industry is we talk about athletes as like stocks and commodities. And so I ran with that and said, Bogey, this deal is essentially, it's a brand new car. It's a 2021 Audi, whatever you want it to be. It's a 2021 BMW X7. Boom. You know, it's a nice car. And the second you sign the paperwork and drive that car off the lot, it's depreciating value. It's a depreciating asset. What I felt like was the second the Kings match that, you just said everybody in the league is going to know your sellers. The second the Kings match that deal, everybody in the league knows their sellers, and Bogey and Buddy immediately become depreciating assets. They immediately become assets that no longer had the same value that they had before that offer was matched. And so I don't think there's this just great grand trade that makes everybody happy available out there just because you match the offer sheet. Yeah. And I think the part that sucks the most, and you're right, and this is the part that sucks the most, is a couple of days ago, we thought there was something coming back in return, or, you know, we had started to talk about, we did a whole podcast on freaking Donte DiVincenzo as part of the draft, you know, being a part of the Sacramento Kings.
And to me, Monty, how I'm taking it to Monty is clearly that $72 million gamble wasn't worth the possibilities of what he could get in return, that he knew he maybe knows the market better than we do. And what he could get at maybe trade deadline or a year from now, that the gamble wasn't the rookie deal or a first round pick wasn't what he would get back. And I really do think seeing what Oklahoma City has done the last week has made this even, has shined a brighter light on this than maybe it would have had you not seen a team trade literally everybody on the roster for a first round pick. And people here say, you can't, I saw it all today on my timeline. You don't think you can get Bogey for a first round pick, that you could get the Donte, like
not next season.
No, we don't know.
Like not next season.
Monty is not Presti. He's year one here. Presti's been there for years and it has been doing that for years. He also had a lot of stars to trade to put himself in that position. The Kings aren't there. Yeah. Unless you're trading Fox, you're not getting the returns that OKC was getting.
What do you think, just briefly, I don't want to spend a ton of time on this, but what do you think about what the Hawks did this offseason? I mean, we knew that they had money. We knew that they were going to be in the game.
They gambled.
They did.
They're shot at their cap, and they still have to pay. They have to decide of what they're doing with John Collins. By doing this, they're either paying him and they're going over for maybe a team that doesn't make the playoffs or makes a 7-8 seed, or they're paying him a huge extension and being put in a situation where the Kings were, but they weren't even necessarily close to the playoffs.
Yeah.
But I get it. You have Trey. I mean, and if they think that I like Gallo, I like Bogey, and I get,
I like Chris Dunn, by the way, another unpopular opinion. I kind of like Chris Dunn.
And the other thing I saw was people saying Atlanta, we should get Atlanta to trade for Buddy. If you actually read from their own reporters of why they were going after Bogey, was because they wanted to take the ball out of Trey's hands. Mm-hmm. That's not Buddy.
Yeah.
They wanted a Bogey so that Trey could play the off the ball like we want Buddy to do. So that never made sense either to try and get that. And I think that also showed that the value maybe that Buddy had, where Kings fans were throwing, me included, oh, can you get their young player, Kevin, and can you get the number 6 pick? Obviously, that wasn't the case. I mean, because it seems like the Kings probably would have jumped on that. But
I noticed
is anybody else of not getting assets, but again, I can see the other side of it, and I know people aren't going to like that. I mean, it's
so this is I noticed Hield was trending and you know, I'm sure it's a local trend, so I clicked on it and was like, let's look at this, some of this. Chris Mannix, SI, here's what he wrote. Not sure why Sacramento would choose not to match on Bogdanovich. Clearly issues with Bogey Hield fit, but worry about that later. Keep the asset, get something in return down the line. I don't want to say that's the universal thought, because that's
every single take I've seen has been that.
But right below that tweet is from Ramona Shelburne in response to Woj's tweet. She wrote, smart, disciplined moved by the Kings here. This shows a commitment to building around Fox and Hield. Hard to lose talent for nothing, but matching just to match would have blocked that team building approach. I don't have a problem with what Ramona wrote right there. I actually like what Ramona wrote.
And if genuinely that is Monty's thing, like we all heard how he gushed about Fox. They paid him. We all heard how he gushed about Hield, right? At the presser, everybody wants to talk about the press conference and, oh my gosh, he must love Hield so much and all this. And then people were upset he wasn't returning calls and all that. But if genuinely that is his two piece that he thinks he can build around, then I want him to have the freedom to go off of his plan, no matter what ownership says, no matter what fans say, no matter, you know, we can disagree to the high heavens. But if this is truly was your selling pitch that you were going into, do it and we'll see what happens.
I'm reading through these tweets, and I know this is a just dangerous, dangerous thing to do, but I just think people are reacting to this just in the absolute wrong way.
Well, you know what else I'm seeing though is people heard Whiteside and they're saying, how do you let a guy like Bogey go? And then that's what's on my timeline right now. That's Pete King.
Whiteside is going to cost $10. What's the big deal?
Those are just as much as anybody else. Like, you know what I mean? Like I've had it, and you can see, if you post this video with my backgrounds, I'm feeling every single emotion.
You know I will.
I get it. I get it.
Oh man.
And I know people don't want to hear patience. We've heard patience for 14 years.
Now that I understand.
And I get it. And they're seeing now, for people that weren't convinced that this was going to be a complete blow up to build how he wants to build, they got a dose of reality that that's what he's doing. And I don't think he's tanking. I genuinely think he's trying to build a roster piece by piece, like they did in Houston and anywhere else that a GM's coming in. They're trying to build them piece by piece. And if
I'm going to get eviscerated for my take on this, like, I just know it, like the Kings, I just think it's, here's what James Hamm just tweeted. Bogdan Bogdanovich was a coach on the floor, worked with Buddy Hield to improve his overall game. Great teammate. He also would have been a perfect mentor for Tyrese Halliburton. Oh, hell. All right, Hamm. By the way, James Hamm will be on D'Lo and KC on Wednesday at 12:30. Can I mention?
That is true.
I mentioned one more thing about assets and losing assets for nothing. And you're going to hate me for this, and I'll win you back. Danny Ainge. Gordon Hayward. What'd they get back for him? Nothing. Kyrie Irving. What'd they get back for Kyrie Irving when he left Boston? No, they didn't get back anything. Nothing. If you manage your team properly, you can lose so-called assets. Gosh, I didn't even think of this one when I used this example before. You know who else they lost for nothing? Al Horford. Think of the contracts that those three players have got over the last 3 years. Think of those three players, period. Al Horford, Gordon Hayward, Kyrie Irving. They were all on the Boston Celtics. Danny Ainge led every single one of them walk for nothing. I'll ask you on this podcast, how concerned are you about the future of the Boston Celtics?
You're not concerned about them. They have a culture set where this is
which
the other
Danny thing, Ainge is established.
Right. Exactly. And this is the other thing that I saw when I was tweeting stuff and was getting replies that, well, Ainge was the perfect example because he let Gordon go, but was able to fill it with Teague and Tristan Thompson. But why haven't the Kings signed anybody? Well, you're talking about Boston and you're talking about Sacramento. I mean, that's apples to oranges. You still have to have people who want to come here. People will take less money to go to good teams. Why didn't they keep Bates?
But you have to establish yourself as a good team first.
100%. 100%. Same way that there, people are mad that Alex Len went to Toronto rather than Sacramento. It's Toronto. Why did Bazemore go to Golden State over Sacramento? Mm-hmm. Yes, they had discussions. And then after talks of we want to get younger and we probably don't want to pay you what it's going to cost to pay you to turn down Golden State. Because if they would have signed him and gave him a number you didn't like, you'd be roasting him for signing a number that you don't like.
Bays didn't want to be, I'm guessing, I don't know. I didn't call him. Well, he's not going to want to be in the position that like Garrett Temple was in.
Right.
Excuse me, when he was here.
Like, to be traded.
Right. Garrett Temple wanted to play here. You know, he wanted to play. It wasn't Sacramento. It wasn't any, he wanted to play basketball and they were like, oh, we kind of stink. So we're just going to ask you not, we're just going to ask you not to play basketball for like the rest of this season. And, you know, things kind of happen the way that they do. But whenever you hear buzzwords like that, if you're a free agent, like Kent Bazemore couldn't have signed here. He's actually going to play in Golden State. Whatever his role will be, I don't know. But he's probably going to have the opportunity to play 82 games. There's no telling with how this season would have gone if he would have had that opportunity here. But I understand your point of comparing Sacramento to Boston. The point more was losing assets and losing. And I hate that I have fallen into using that term. Using players and not getting players back, you losing players and not getting anything in return. It's not the death of a franchise if you can build something here. People will see if you show people what you're building. God, I'm going to use this is cheesy. If you build it, they will come. Like if you build an organization here, if you build a winning organization here, you'll get players. you're not getting LeBron. We know that. You're not getting Kyrie and Kevin Durant, but you can get the second tier free agents that matter. You can get, you know, the Gordon Hayward types, or, and I know that's probably not the best name to use, but you, I think you know what I mean by that. But you've got to start somewhere. And to me, this is Monty McNair starting from somewhere. Because if we had gotten to the end of the season, Jill, and this season is what, 72 games, I think it'll be nothing short of a massive, massive miracle if all 72 games actually get played. But let's go with the massive miracle and say 72 games happen and the Kings wind up with, what did they have last year? 31 wins. If they wind up winning between 29 and 32 games and he's got all of that money invested, what do you, did something happen? You're holding your head. I don't have an alert. What happened?
Everyone has a magnifying glass on Buddy's likes, right?
Yes.
I just got sent one that he liked it saying, Buddy Hield seeing Woj say the Kings still consider him part of the core and it's a kid crying. Like, come on, dude. Like,
dude, really?
Like, come on.
This is the same dude. What does he tweet? Peace, love, and happiness, or something like that every day.
This is what people are pissed off about too, is Bogey clear didn't want to be here. And media have said that. I mean, right? Like, we've heard it, but he doesn't do it publicly in this way. So nobody's mad, right? That he wanted to go and move on and be winning. But because he does it this way, it's rubbing salt. I mean, it's.
Oh, see now, gosh dang it, Jill. Look what you did. Now you've got me looking at Buddy's likes.
Oh, when they're not, yeah.
Oh, Jill. I can't do this. Where do we sign up to cover a team that's... Is there a team that's...
I saw someone else say his plan for not having Luke around much longer is working. Not Buddy, but Monty, like, making sure so that ownership will be like, no.
That's not funny. That's not funny. I shouldn't have laughed at that. My partner, Kenny Caraway, is going to get a kick out of that, what you just shared with us, the Buddy Hield like. Oh, man. Jill, what are we going to do, man? What are we going to do, Jilly? Kings fans are not... Did they just ruin Thanksgiving? Did the Kings just ruin Thanksgiving for everybody? I don't think they did, but I'm not mad. I'm gonna tag KC on that tweet so he could see it. He's gonna laugh. He's actually gonna be infuriated. Well, much like
them, but
he's gonna be
your Clay example, that Clay went down. Nothing's guaranteed in this game. When you say that you can always move them, it's not guaranteed.
Just because Bogey is gone doesn't mean Buddy's not out the door too.
Right.
So who knows? Something tells me, and I don't know this for sure. I could completely be wrong. I've seen the same, and it was rather humorous seeing Kings, not necessarily Kings fans, but more like Kings media people, tweeting about, like, if this happens, this. Because it's kind of like, yo, we've all seen, every single one of us, we've all seen the same 28 minutes worth of press conferences. Once when he was introduced and once at the draft. We've all seen the same press conferences. Anybody who thinks they know what Monty McNair is thinking, anybody who thinks they know what's going on in that organization is fooling themselves. Anyone thinking that they know exactly why Monty McNair decided he wasn't going to match this offer from the Atlanta Hawks is being silly. But I'm going to go out on a limb and just guess Monty McNair isn't sitting in the office going, all right, guys, checkmate. We did it. This was our end game. We didn't want to match the deal on Bogey. Let's go win a championship. I'm going to guess that's not the case.
And this is what always makes me laugh is, he was getting so much praise locally and nationally for his evaluating of the draft, right? Mm-hmm. In the first and in the second, that he got two guys that many people said could have gone at the end of the first, right? And so now all of a sudden, because he didn't like this move and people don't necessarily like it, then now all of a sudden he has no idea what he's doing. That take away the last week before that,
where everything was golden. But now because he makes one move, one that we don't necessarily agree with or understand, because he hasn't made any other kind of move in free agency, that he's just sitting there, you know, twiddling his thumbs, not doing anything. To me, there was really nobody in the market. Yes, there were guys I liked, but they were low paying guys and most of them were restricted free agents. So I did not expect us to have a shot at them. I'm happy we weren't throwing that money around. I am. And I know people were mad that these other teams were throwing money around. One, we didn't have money to throw around. And I'm happy we didn't have money to throw around, because I think if we had a previous group, you saw a lot of the mistakes that some of these guys were making. We made 2 years ago, a year ago, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
We have a lot of, so we'll see what kind of market Kojo has. We'll see what kind of market Bielitsa has. We'll see what Rashawn Holmes' plan. I don't know what their plan is for him or not. He, to me, out of any of the three, he's the one I would look at keeping. If you're going to keep any of the three, you might get an offer that you can't turn down. But we have three guys that supposedly should have value. If not, they're falling off our cap for next year. But I don't know.
I don't either, but it's going to be.
There are contracts we will be able to knock them off, that they're not guaranteed past this season. But
one thing we can agree on, I think all of us can agree on, is this is great for Tyrese Haliburton. Is that fair?
Yes.
Because this gives him a greater window to play and a way
we'll find out how ready he is. Will.
Yeah. You know, man.
This is a lot to put on a kid as well, which I did understand from that perspective. I did understand what people were saying, that bring Bogey back and you can move him, but at least the kid's not being thrown into the fire, which we saw with De'Aaron Fox when he first started here. They signed George Hill for that reason. But again, we also don't know what other moves Monty has in store. And maybe they genuinely feel that he's ready. I don't know. Or they'll start him as a backup. I mean, obviously, I don't think the kid's going to go out and start and they're going to play the buddy at three. So
are we just going to pretend like Bogey didn't have nights where he was like 1 of 14 and like 2 of 10? Like, are we just going to pretend that didn't happen and that he was just like really good all of the time? We're falling in love with the wrong thing here. And I don't fault anybody who's upset with this, but I think maybe we're collectively overreacting a little.
And this is, so yes, the Kings saw wins, right? When Bogey started and Buddy didn't. They were also playing a different style, but Fox still had better numbers individually with Buddy. So if they, if they truly think that is the pairing and they're going to change the pace and go back to whatever they did, I think they generally think they're going to get the max out of each of those players paired together. If they're looking at it numbers wise, I don't know.
Would this be easier to digest? At least partially.
I'm having to tell the dog, just trying to get in.
We're normally not recording today, so I get it. The dogs have a right to be upset. It's all right. We're recording early. It's an emergency podcast. We got to have it out before the holidays. Would this have been easier to digest if the Bucks deal hadn't leaked? Like, if we hadn't spent days and days and days on the radio and on podcasts and on Twitter talking about Dante DiVincenzo?
I think so, because then people would have said, oh, there was no market for him. Well, I think there would have been a group that said, because he didn't sign anybody, I think there would have been a group that still said, oh, he's not doing anything. Obviously, he's not calling, because we're used to hearing about every move that our old front office did. But I think overall, yes,
I just saw someone say whoever leaked that should be fired because you literally just blew up your, you know, at least social media wise, by people knowing that existed, you just made a bunch of people hate you. Like,
well, yeah, but I'm, again, I don't know. I don't think that came from the Kings. Like,
I don't think it did either.
So if you want to fire Bogey's agent or someone in Milwaukee, that's fine. But I don't think, I don't think that came no from here. It made
sense for the Kings to leak that. But, it absolutely did not.
But with that said, there's still a question that needs to be answered. And this is what we talked to Jason Anderson about. Was there a deal done or was there not a deal done? Jason said, and you were the one who brought this back to Twitter when this whole thing blew up on draft day. You went back and got Jason Anderson's tweet from that Monday night when the original Woj tweet went out. And Jason Anderson told us today, I was told within a minute of that Adrian Wojnarowski tweet going up, when I tried to independently confirm it, that there was no deal done. So what happened? This is what I don't understand. Did the Bucks say, we're going to offer Bogey $18 million. He's obviously going to sign it. You're going to match it. And we're going to do the deal. Or was it the Kings saying, we're going to sign Bogey for whatever, $18 million to $72 million. And then we're going to trade him to you. I don't even think that that's possible. So they wouldn't have done that. What the fuck happened? That's what I need to know. What happened on the Kings end? I don't care how it got leaked, because I don't think it was the Kings that leaked it. I need to know what actually transpired, because for Jason Anderson to be told a minute after the Woj tweet went out that no deal had been done, that leaves me, I got a lot of questions about that. Like, what exactly was the conversation between the Kings, the Bucks, and the Kings, the Bucks, and Bogey's representatives?
Right.
I don't know why I asked you expecting you to know. Like,
there was, I think it was the Zach Lowe podcast that was a couple days ago, and they insinuated his agent again, that they were saying that, like, if we ever tell the story of what went down, we would have to do a live show and like have drinks and like, this is going to be a good one. Like,
yeah.
Because yeah. I mean, it's, and again, like we said, if it truly was him, he's done this to two other teams, the Spurs, and there was one other one, and the team that had the player got hosed. Like, they all ended up being on the losing end of whatever the deal was going to be.
Yeah.
And you know, that's an agent. That's not shocking. The agent's going to get whatever they're going to get. My only thing is there had to have been a snag on numbers. Like, there had to have been by taking. And this is the thing. It's like, you knew, you heard about it after they traded. So you knew the money situation then. So what?
And that's what I mean.
Or was he trying, like, did he throw it out there trying to show the Hawks or someone else? Like, well, hey, throw your hat in the ring? Like,
yeah, maybe that was it.
Anything from any other team. But the fact that we saw a tweet from somebody else prior to leaking saying, oh, they're going to target him. But we had already heard that a month ago as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And Shams. Then we also heard it at the trade deadline. Like, this isn't the first time Milwaukee's been linked to him.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, it's, again, it's Kings fans just feel like, I get it. They feel like they're always on the losing end of anything that happens anytime, anywhere. Like, it's because, I mean, that's been how we've been for what I think there's
ever
been 8 seasons. I know at the end of the season, I know I did a huge stat thing of like the amount of times we were even just over 500 was four or five seasons. It was like very small. In the 35 years that they've been here, like it was, we're just not used to good things happening. And I think that you still have Vlade in your mind if you were someone that didn't think Vlade made good moves, right? And I've seen this on here from people who thought Vlade made good moves, that Vlade should never have been fired. This guy, see, just screwed everything up. you run it back and they would have been fine. They had Bagley healthy. That's, they would have been back to how they were in 2018 or whatever it was. I've seen, we finally got rid of Lottie. Oh,
like look, they were, I'm sorry, were they good in 2018?
People thought they were better. Well, that's a whole nother conversation.
Okay.
But you've been saying that people overvaluated that from the beginning and you saw how they fell off the second half of that season.
Yeah.
You have people saying, oh, well, they were on the up that the second half of this last season. So again, you're still only seeing partial seasons.
Yeah.
But you have people who didn't like Vladdy, who were saying always made the wrong decision, that now they're saying, well, see, now it's just, we went from one bad decision maker to another bad decision maker, even though it's only one move.
Yeah.
It's, that this is what my timeline looks like right now.
No,
I get it. It's 14 seasons. I get it. To stomach not getting anything, I get it. And Monty's cost analysis, whatever numbers that he pulled from, apparently said that it was worth risking not getting anything. And we have no idea that it, again, we heard about flexibility at the presser, right? And in Woj's tweet, it talked about roster flexibility.
Yeah.
We have no idea what that means to Monty.
That's right. That's true.
I think we do.
Yeah.
Again, we have no idea what roster flexibility means.
Yeah.
So until we actually see that, yes, you can say, like you said, you don't mind this, where we can also see that why you'd be pissed off until we really know his roster flexibility plan in motion, like actually physically seeing it, it's hard to evaluate long term and of what this means or doesn't mean in terms of, we don't have a crystal ball, unfortunately, to see how this one will play out.
Well, I guess we'll leave it there.
Again, you can see from my background, I'm nervous, I'm blah, I'm sad. I'm happy because I have someone, a GM who's seems to be ignoring anything that anyone's saying, and he's implementing his vision.
Yep.
You know, which is what we all say, ignore everybody else and implement your vision. You know, and then you have Mr. Frustrated Mad Guy. So, we'll see how it plays out.
I don't have an emotion up there. I'm chill. Let's see. And normally I'm not the patient one because I hate the line of be patient. I hate the line. It's 1 year. I think that's all silliness. Like, it's not 1 year. It's 14. I understand that this is a new regime. I get it. But yeah. I didn't believe in the old regime. I didn't believe them I didn't believe in them in day one. I didn't believe in them the day before he was fired and the other one stepped down. But I'm going to give this one a chance. I'm going to give Monty McNair a chance. I'm going to give this front office a chance. He thinks this is the best move for the Sacramento Kings. Okay. What's next? That's what I'm waiting on. What does this move to not match Bogdan Bogdanovich's deal lead to? Is Buddy your guy? Buddy appears to be a complete jackass. Above all else, he appears to be acting like a petulant little child on social media. So is that how you're going to roll with it? Okay. You go, because you can deal with a petulant child if they're scoring 30 a night, not turning the ball over, and aren't the worst defensive player you've seen in recent memory. You can deal with a petulant child. But if you whine and sulk that you don't get the ball or you don't get to shoot enough or you're not valued on this team or you're the only one criticized for poor defense, then I ain't got time for you. You know, keep your mouth shut. Get the job done. You get paid well. You're an incredibly skilled shooter. If Monty McNair sees that in him and can deal with all the other stuff, let's roll with it. What's next? That's all I'm waiting to see.
Touche.
All right.
Yep.
I think we are done for the day. We appreciate y'all tuning in. If you want to check out the new Manscaped Weed Whacker, go check that out. Head over to manscaped.com. You'll get 20% off your order plus free shipping. Use the promo code HOOPBALL. Again, that's manscaped.com. Fellas, you'll really dig this. They got a nose hair trimmer. They've got other area trimmers, but they're some of the best stuff on the market, including the skin safe technology that they have. And it also works in the shower. So go to manscaped.com, use the promo code HOOPBALL and get 20% off your order. Jilly, have a great holiday. Don't go through all those emotions when you're eating up all that good food on Thursday and stay off of Twitter. You're not allowed angry Kings takes on Twitter on Thursday. That's the rule.
Yeah, I'm
unless of course something
I'm just letting see people I'm just letting people talk. I'm staying out of
there's probably one thing that we should touch on in 2 seconds.
I get yelled at for being too positive, so I try and stay out of it.
Would you be mad if they signed Hassan Whiteside?
I wouldn't necessarily. I would say more so I wouldn't understand it. But he's also what is left. So, I mean, if in terms of if you're looking at like Thon Maker or Whiteside, like, and okay, again, we don't know what he means in terms of roster flexibility. So if he's already planning to send people out and this is a stopgap that you have for when you're sending everybody out, then I get it.
Mm-hmm.
I get it.
Okay.
It's a plug-in that you can throw out there and he can run. And do some things. But yeah. I don't see it being any kind of long-term deal. So like, I'm not worried about that. But to me, it makes sense if knowing you're going to be shipping all these people off, that you have a playable stopgap guy there. That's the best I can give on it.
All right. Well, we appreciate you for tuning in. If you haven't rated or reviewed this show yet, particularly on Apple Podcasts, and if you're new to the show, welcome. It's a new season. I mean, Joe, by the time, are we together on the first day of training camp? It's pretty close. We're scheduled to record next Wednesday.
Yeah, I think they have to start showing up on the first to start getting their tests, I believe.
We'll also have the schedule by the next time that we talk. We'll have the, well, I take that back. We'll have the first half of the schedule, which is coming out December 1st. So if you haven't subscribed to the show yet, please do. Again, we've got an entire season full of coverage coming up here on the Sacramento Kings podcast on the Be Heard podcast platform. So subscribe, rate, review, like, share on social media, tweet us at Jill Adge, at Damian Barling. Tune into D'Lo and KC every weekday on ESPN 1320 AM here in Sacramento and Northern California, or on the radio.com app. Just search radio.com. You can get all of your podcasts there in the app store as well. It's a fantastic little app where you can listen to us live and on demand each and every single day. Jill, I appreciate you so much. We appreciate you so much for listening, and we'll see you here next time on the Sacramento Kings podcast presented by HoopBall and the Be Heard podcast platform.